Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
A visibly angry Ted Cruz lashing out at Donald Trump.
With this pattern, he should not be surprised to see people calling him Sleazy Donald.
Standing in a Wisconsin.
Well, you get the whole picture. It's the biggest story of the political year. And that's all we're going to talk about, by and large, today. Donald Trump will be on the Savage Nation today to set the record straight on the National Enquirer scandal. And my goal is to put it behind us and focus on the real enemy of freedom, which is Hillary Clinton. You have to understand something here. The Trump-Cruz conspiracy, in my opinion, is being pushed by the chess master Hillary, or her people, to force the election into the hands of enemies of freedom. Now, I have to add this. The Ted Cruz people were contacted 3 hours ago and offered full access to the Savage Nation to be equal to the Donald Trump appearance, and they wouldn't even answer us. And this is a pattern of the Cruz campaign. They're part of the mainstream. They've been hiding from the beginning, and only Donald Trump has had the guts to come on this show for years now. Just so you know what the truth is. And there's another element to this that you have to pay attention to this, too. I want you to notice that everyone is talking about this Trump-Cruz fight and my role in it, but note how the old line, now mainstream conservative outlets, refuse to cover it. Let me repeat that in case you missed it. The entire landscape has changed in the last few years. And what you think are the wild, crazy, conservative internet sites, they're not. They are the mainstream media today. I don't think you understand that. The old line, now mainstream media outlets, won't even cover the story that you're listening to on the Savage Nation. And that's a story unto itself for media watchers interested in the new fault lines. There are right now so many quadrangles and isosceles triangles against each other that all we can do is focus on what we know to be true. We don't know which side anyone's on. We don't know who's controlling who. We don't know where the loyalties lie. And all I can go with is what I think is the truth. And so I want to get back to the issue here. There's only one website that's covering this story properly, and that's WorldNet Daily. And I want to thank my old friend Joe Farah for caring enough to want to set the record straight on the National Enquirer scandal. And his headline has it all. Talk radio superstar Michael Savage embraced Donald Trump's campaign early when his competition was either sitting on the sidelines or backing others. But then came the National Enquirer scandal story about Ted Cruz. Something didn't sit well with Savage. On Monday, Savage will host an appearance by Donald Trump to talk about the National Enquirer scandal once and for all. Quote, I hope to hear directly from Mr. Trump his disavowal of having anything to do with this mudslinging about Cruz's alleged affair, Savage said in a statement to WND. I want to talk about the 10 big dangers to America of another Clinton presidency. America's future hangs in the balance. Either we elect a candidate who puts America first, or we slide down the socialist path to a weakened, diluted nation, unable to defend itself from enemies external and internal, becoming a big Belgium crying out for someone to save her. That's the whole story in a nutshell. We wake up this morning and we realize that the crazy man in the White House, who just got back from, let's see, two Air Force Ones to South America for a spring break for himself and his family, and nobody noticed that, but those who noticed that, a man abusing the presidency unlike any in history, a profligate spender, a profligate traveler, a peripatetic traveler, however you want to put it, abusing the presidency and no one talks about it. Maureen Dowdy, the old writer for the New York Times, who is nothing but an apologist now for Obama. It's an embarrassment. She used to be wild and crazy, but she's an apologist for the Obama administration, refusing to acknowledge the two Air Force jets for the Easter break junket to South America. So where are you going to turn for any discussion relative to what we need to talk about for this election? Well, you have all the outlets that you want. This story between Donald Trump and Ted Cruz is extremely important, because unless the sleaze is stopped, unless the name-calling is stopped, unless the peeing contest is stopped and I mean stopped yesterday, I'm afraid that this is all going to help only one person. And that's the last thing America needs is the next term of Barack Obama, only this time in a skirt. We don't need Obama in a skirt in the presidency, do we? Because we know where that got us. Bombs are going off, and Obama says he's bringing in more Muslim immigrants. That no matter what anyone says, his answer is to reach out to the Muslim world. Does that make sense to you? Instead of telling the Muslim world to get their act together and join in the fight against terror, he tells us that we should get our act together and welcome in more Muslims. How does that make sense? The entire left wing is deranged, delusional. The Pope's crazy. He's one of the left-wing lunatics. Bombs are going off Easter Sunday in churches, and he says, fight Muslim bombs with love. How do you fight a bomber with love? Has that ever worked in history? Didn't the Jews teach us that it's okay to have a Bible in one hand, but you better have an Uzi in the other? Or there'd be no Israel? There wouldn't be a Jew left on the earth? Was it not for all the Eddies who died liberating the Jews from Auschwitz? It wasn't love that liberated the Jews from the concentration camps. It was bombs and bullets that liberated the Jews from the concentration camps. That's called reality, something that is lacking in Obama's brain, and certainly lacking in the political sphere in which we operate. So what does that have to do with mudslinging in a political campaign? Kind of everything and nothing. If this is all we're going to hear about, then the average person is going to walk away from these two men, Trump and Cruz, and say, you know what, they're both not qualified to be president unless they stop it. And I want to get that message across today to all of you. I think it has to be stopped because I think it's coming from the Hillary campaign itself. Now, we've read all the rumors. We've read that it was the Rubio campaign that released this information about Cruz's alleged affairs. That's number one. But Cruz is a lightweight. Cruz is a midget. Cruz is new to the political world. The real operatives of deception have been in the business a very long time. The real grand chess masters work with or are the Clintons. They are the smartest political operatives in American history. Well, maybe next to Barack Obama's team. I can't say because Obama's team outmaneuvered them. But let's say they're amongst the most skilled political operatives in American political history. So they could have leaked it to old Rubio, so Rubio could take the heat for leaking this stupid story. I'd like to say something that Hillary once said. What difference does it make after all? I don't know what Ted Cruz did, nor could I care about anything to do with his activities. I don't really care. To be honest with you, when Bill Clinton was accused of so-called shenanigans, I said I don't care what he's doing, frankly. I don't approve of it, but it's not the biggest problem on the earth. The biggest problem on the earth was Hillary and Bill bombing Serbia, for example, into the Stone Age, not being covered by the American media. That was the real news. Killing people, bombing around the clock, bombing every bridge on the River Danube. That was the real story, but you didn't pay any attention to that because you were paying attention to Bill Clinton's shenanigans, which was a distraction. Never forget what she and the war criminal Madeleine Albright did. Do you know what they did? The 17th anniversary last Thursday of NATO's illegal bombing of the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia during Bill Clinton's reign of terror. There were 38,400 sorties, including 10,484 strike sorties, which lasted 78 days. They were the worst 78 days of my radio career. They were bombing Serbia mercilessly. They destroyed infrastructure, commercial buildings, schools, health institutions, media houses, cultural monuments. They killed 17 people when a bomb hit a bus packed with Serbian women and children. NATO said it regretted killing 15 people after it targeted a hospital with a cluster bomb and killed three diplomats at China's embassy in Belgrade. And then, if you want to know what you're going to get if Hillary wins, after Serbian television criticized Albright and Clinton, Serbian television was bombed as well by NATO, killing 16 people. And Madeleine Albright foamed at the mouth, as did her aide, the psychopath, Jamie something, I forget his name, but he was married at the time to one of CNN's Mataharis, whose name I forget as well. It was a disgrace, and I'm bringing it up because that's part of the danger of ignoring a Hillary presidency. We have seen how dangerous the Clintons can be. And by the way, I just read to you the number of bombings against Serbia in 78 days, it's interesting to me that Barack Obama has not engaged in as intense a campaign of bombing ISIS targets in a shorter period of time as the Clintons did against the Serbians, a Christian nation. Is that not an interesting story unto itself for those of you who follow reality? Well, maybe I'm distracting you from the big picture. I don't think so. I'm trying to steer you to the bigger picture, which is not whether or not Ted Cruz did this, whether or not Trump said that. The big issue is that America's future hangs in the balance like a loose tooth. And the story is so big that even NBC News, which has ignored me for my 22 years, has finally found the time to mention my name. Listen to this short version right now.
A visibly angry Ted Cruz lashing out at Donald Trump.
With this pattern, he should not be surprised to see people calling him Sleazy Donald.
Standing in a Wisconsin factory, the backdrop, a Republican race that's become remarkably personal after Trump retweeted a photo of his wife side by side with Cruz's. Now, Cruz accusing Trump of planting a story in the National Enquirer about extramarital affairs Cruz denies.
Let me be clear. This National Enquirer story is garbage. It is complete and utter lies. It is a tabloid smear. And it is a smear that has come from Donald Trump and his henchmen.
Two women, who have been subject to speculation, also strongly denying any truth to the story. One, a Trump spokesperson and former Cruz ally, tweeting, "The story is 100% false." The tabloid provided no evidence to back up its claims. The only person quoted, Roger Stone, a controversial former Trump advisor who left the campaign last year, telling NBC he's not the source of the story. Trump today saying he himself had absolutely nothing to do with it and did not know about it. One of his high-profile supporters, radio host Michael Savage, now calling on the candidate to disavow the story altogether.
Well, one of his supporters, and I was the first in radio to support Mr. Trump, and by the way, I still support him, by the way. He's disavowed this like 10 times. But he'll be with you on this show to finally put it behind him. It's another smear along the lines of the false KKK smear from the people who hate him. And we're going to dispel that notion and get back to basics, which is talking about the real issues, including the dangers of a Hillary Clinton presidency. And by the way, before I take a break and invite you to call this show at 855-400-7282. You should know that Bernie Sanders, if you haven't been following it, smashed Hillary's campaign in three states over the weekend. This broken, foaming, old commie socialist from the streets of New York is espousing the same message you would have heard in the streets of New York in the 1930s by street agitators, is winning the hearts and minds of the fools at the college campuses and all the government workers. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Well, you won't read it on any of the websites. They're now part of the mainstream media, but Donald Trump will be on the Savage Nation today to finally set the record straight on the National Enquirer scandal, which he had nothing to do with, so far as I can tell. I want to read you some of the comments people are sending to my Facebook page. Tom Harrison wrote, "Let me get this right. Trump is responsible for what the National Enquirer does, but Cruz is not responsible for what his PACs do?" Here's another one. Greg Berchenko writes, "I do not believe in the politics of smearing. I hope that Trump distances himself from National Enquirer during his interview with Michael Savage later today. Moreover, I do not care whether Cruz had affairs or not. I care about what kind of president he would be. Cruz has some good ideas. Listen to this carefully. But I also fear that he would try to move the USA closer to a Christian theocracy." Huh. I'm getting a lot of that one, by the way. People do not like the snake waving and the Bible thumping. And Cruz is a phony when it comes to that. He then writes, "I also wonder what his connections to Goldman Sachs are and how would these affect Cruz's economic policy." See, those are the issues that we're not focusing on. You understand that? Some of the other things people are writing, I will read you as time goes on. Teresa A. Polikonos writes this, Cool it, guys, and listen to what Trump has to say. The scandal began with Rubio. Payback for Cruz's leaking damaging info against him while he was a candidate. Actually, Rubio Camp offered the info to Breitbart several months ago, but a devout Cruz operative inside Breitbart hid it and sat on it. That's why this operative has now been fired from Breitbart. Well, I don't believe that's the truth, by the way. If I were to guess, I would guess that it was the Hillary Blumenthal people behind this fight, and they're the grand chess masters who leaked it to old Rubio. There's another piece on the Gateway Pundit from Jim Hoff that you should not ignore. Kirsten Powers, anti-Trump operative, was aggressively shopping Cruz sex scandal. The Daily Beast, Betsy Woodruff, Kirsten Powers from Fox News, Erica Greeter of Texas Monthly, and Chuck Johnson of Got News all confirm Cruz's deflection is misplaced. Betsy Woodruff told MSNBC the story started with the Cruz campaign. The Cruz campaign reportedly knew for weeks, at least since January, about the allegations. Kirsten Powers told Fox News someone else who was anti-Cruz and anti-Trump was shopping the story. Notice that one. Anti-Cruz and anti-Trump were shopping the story. That's all you have to know. This is not even coming from either of them. It's against the leading Republican candidates. That's how the game is played. Politics is the dirtiest game on earth. And here's something for you to take home if you're not going to listen to the interview with Donald Trump. The head of the DNC, Debbie Wasserfuhrmann Schultz. Debbie Wasserfuhrmann Schultz is in the tank for Hillary, trying to shield her. All of her scandals. While the RNC head is trying to take down the party frontrunner, Donald Trump. What more do you need to know? It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282, SAVAGE.
How are you blue Monday? Got to work, plan to sleep all deep.
Look, here are two of the best comments on this absurd tempest in a teapot on my Facebook page. Kevin Raisler writes, in my opinion, Trump had no choice but to attack after the super PAC distributed photos of his wife to influence voters in Utah. That's one position. Here's the better one, I think. Lawrence P. Bates writes, I don't care what was printed in the Enquirer. We all have skeletons. I want to know who is best in protecting our country, keeping our freedoms, and staying out of my pocket. It's really that simple. Whenever I hear someone say, oh, I'm for this one, I said, what, you want to pay more taxes, idiot? I see people in the lily white suburbs, they say, oh, I'm for Hillary, I'm for Bernie. I said, moron, you mean you want to pay more taxes? Are they that stupid? Are they that disconnected from reality? Yeah, well, the answer is, of course they are. They're drugged and uneducated. They have no idea what they're doing. They think it's cool to back this ugly old man. That's the paradox of this. You say, well, how could a guy as unattractive as him, a man who they would have stereotyped in the past, how could they back this guy? What is it about this Pied Piper of Marxism that is so appealing? That's a great question that I'm going to throw out there for the audience. What is so appealing about Bernie Sanders, the Pied Piper of Marxism? I mean, none of his ideas are new. We've heard them before. They've been tried in the Soviet Union repeatedly. They tried them in the 1930s. They tried them in Cambodia in a more extreme form. That led to a mountain of skulls. They tried them under Mao Zedong. How'd that work out? 60 million Chinese died as a result of this. By the way, I will repeat again that Bernie Sanders is the most dangerous man in the entire political system right now. It's not so much because he himself is evil. He's not the type who would line people up and shoot them in a firing squad or work them to death in a death camp. I'm not saying he would do that any more than Pol Pot actually did the killing himself. Pol Pot was a refined Cambodian professor who went to Paris to study Marxism. He came back a few years later, and intellectually he liked the idea of Marxism for Cambodia. As a result, he unleashed the 14-year-olds, those are the equivalent of what the type are that burnt down Ferguson. He gave them red scarves, called them the Khmer Rouge. They persecuted the entire middle class in Cambodia. They ridiculed them. They beat them up. Sound familiar? And then they wound up killing them. All in the name of fairness and a redistribution of income. So be very careful about Bernie Sanders. He certainly wouldn't do those things. We know that. He wouldn't get his hands dirty. But he might look the other way if it was happening the same way Obama's looked the other way while he stirred up the masses in Ferguson and Baltimore and everywhere else that a policeman walks the beat. These intellectuals don't do the dirty work. They just do the tango. This is the Savage Nation. We're talking about this issue of Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, and the Today Show is very straightforward. The Savage Nation that you're listening to has now risen to national prominence in some ways because of the prominence of Donald Trump. It's very important I say that again. Donald Trump's messaging has made my messaging mainstream. All of a sudden, people are saying, hey, you know that? Hey, that's Savage. He's been saying the same thing for 21 years, Borders, Language, and Culture. His last three best-selling books, including Government Zero, contain many of the talking points that we hear coming from Donald Trump. That's not an accusation. That's a salutation. And so as a result of this, it's like, hey, maybe that Savage isn't so extreme now that I think about it, now that we've had a chance to argue about it, now that we see the bombs going off in various parts of the world from the Islamo-fascists. Maybe that guy Savage was right all along, people are saying. And as I say, many of the bullet points that we hear coming from Donald Trump's campaign have been are being come directly from Government Zero or Stop the Coming Civil War. But the real beneficiary of this dialogue is the United States of America. And I'm not going to take credit for that particular awareness, but I am the architect of the messaging that you're hearing coming from a certain campaign, and there's no way to refute that. Anyone who understands the realities of what Donald Trump is saying and why he is popular understands that it is related to what I have written going back several books now, as I have pointed out many times. Many of my many of my solutions for America to be found in the backs of these best-selling books are talking points for the Donald Trump campaign. And I don't want to read them to you, but now they're coming to the mind of the average American who is aware of the fact that a bomb could go off, God forbid, you know, as it did in San Bernardino, to bring it closer to home rather than Brussels. We have a report right now that there's been a shooting moments ago or within the hour at the U.S. Capitol. Officer wounded, shooter in custody. Employees are told to shelter in place. The equivalent of my age when we had to duck and cover for fear of a thermonuclear exchange with the Soviet Union. Now it's not a thermonuclear exchange with ISIS, but it's a shooting exchange with ISIS. Of course, there's no relationship to any religion, nor any particular country of origin. We know that. In fact, they have the bullet points written in advance. Even if the guy screams Allah Akbar as he blows himself up, we're supposed to say, well, it had nothing to do with the religion of Islam. It's not in the Quran itself. Well, it is in the Quran itself. I'm sorry to tell you, it was a Muslim who wrote that. And I'll direct you to the article from the extreme right-wing newspaper, USA Today. It was an op-ed by a Muslim student who grew up in America who said the Quran's deadly role in inspiring Belgian slaughter. Read it yourself. Don't be an ignoramus all your life and think it has nothing to do with what many of these people are reading in their holy book. And it's time for Islam itself to go through the same kind of reformation that Christianity went through in the Middle Ages. You may not know it, but Christians once had an Inquisition. They crucified, they hung, they tortured, they cut people's heads off. Then they went through a reformation. And unfortunately, the throwbacks in Islam are stuck in a 9th or 10th century view of Islam. Not even the 11th century, because by the 11th century, Islam had already modified its positions after it conquered so much territory. But this ISIS virus is a throwback to the 9th century, and that's what we should be focused on. It also explains why Donald Trump skyrocketed in the polls. He was the first one to say, build a wall with Mexico. Shortly thereafter, Kate Steinle was murdered by an illegal alien right outside my windows here in San Francisco. She was shot by an illegal alien who had the nerve to say he was shooting at sea lions in the bay. By the way, where is that murderer, the illegal alien from Mexico who shot that poor woman who was walking next to her father and she said, Daddy, I'm hurt? You forgot that story already? Been brushed up by the Willie Brown mimeograph sheet, the local newspaper? Hushed up by the Nancy Pelosi mimeograph sheet, the local newspaper that wasn't or isn't or can't? The little newspaper that can't? Where is the illegal alien who shot Kate Steinle? And what about the issue of not only closing the borders and building a wall that has catapulted Donald Trump to the forefront, but what about his allegedly controversial statement that we should not bring in any more Muslims until we can figure this thing out? Why is that a controversial statement? Can anyone explain what's controversial about that? Your idiot president has granted 700,000 green cards to Muslims over the last few years. Don't tell me that there are no terrorists or terrorist sympathizers amongst them. Plain logic would indicate that there are. Use your head, idiots. If you bring in 700,000 people from countries known to produce terrorism and from a religion known to be associated with terrorism in our times, how can you say among 700,000, you know for sure, none of them are going to be a terrorist unless you're a left-wing goose-stepper? That's why Donald Trump is right when he says we can't bring any more Muslims in until we can figure this thing out. Of course, he's been attacked by the left-wing, who has never been known for sanity. Left wing has never been known for survival, survival tactics, just how to defame others and attack others. But when has the left wing saved America? When has the left wing ever gone to bat for America? It's into tearing things down. When has the hippie generation been known to build things up? Well, anyway, let's not get distracted here. The big issue is Donald Trump, who will be on the show. I hope to put this behind us and focus on the real issue, which is the dangers of a Hillary Clinton candidacy. And believe me, they are many, whether it be national security, her war on police, the socialized medicine called Obamacare, the social meltdown in America that Obama has fostered, the division of America into demographic groups, pitting one against another by the community organizer, the peripatetic president, black against brown versus white versus gay versus straight versus men versus women versus rich versus poor, with fringe groups increasingly being empowered by this community organizer, protests, riots, destruction would become the norm under Hillary. Under Hillary, the judges would be an issue. My God, lifetime appointments. Can you imagine that? The executive actions under Hillary Clinton, terrorism, where Hillary says we're beating ISIS, when in fact the opposite is true, with the number of terrorist attacks growing by the day, by the week, by the month, ignoring that ISIS is actually more powerful than it ever has been. Oh, I know they've lost some territory in Iraq or in Syria. They lost the town, I think, of Raqqa. Well, actually, the headquarters are in Raqqa. You'd ask yourself, if you know where the capital of your fascist enemy resides, and it's Raqqa, why don't you carpet bomb Raqqa? To Ted Cruz's credit, he said he would carpet bomb Raqqa and kill everything that moves in it. Why is that a controversial statement? Do you want them to metastasize? Do you want them to keep producing more killers? There's only one way to stop it. So Ted Cruz is right about that, in the opinion of millions of people. That's why he's surging. So don't think that this is an irrational campaign. It is a super rational campaign that has been thrown off course by forces that we can only guess at. We don't know who really started this rumor mill at the end of the day. I keep thinking it's the grand chess master herself, Hillary, to get everyone's mind off her email scandal, for example, which is far bigger than who Ted Cruz kissed in a closet. Wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say that Hillary Clinton's leaking of classified data, let us say by accident, is a bigger scandal? Wouldn't you say that her destruction of the entire Middle East, which with her mistaken Arab Spring policy, which she owns, which I've been hammering for over a year, she owns the Arab Spring. I call it the Arab Winter after we saw what it really was bringing us. The Arab Spring brought about this terrorism and these millions and millions and millions of refugees coming out of the Middle East and out of Africa, for that matter. Do you remember the famous tape of Gaddafi after he had been weakened when he said, "Don't kill me"? He said, "If you kill me, Libya will descend into the status of Somalia." Don't Kill Me, and remember they killed him? And remember Hillary laughing with her girlfriends? We came, we saw, he died. Do you remember that famous tape? Why is that not a bigger issue than who Ted Cruz kissed? These are the issues that you should be focused on if you care about the future of the world. But if you yourself are, let us say, enmeshed in the tabloid world of the American media, and I can't blame you if you are, it's so powerful. It's like eating junk food. It's like drinking bad soda. It's there. Only instead of in a 16-ounce Slurpee, the American tabloid media is now in a 32-ounce glucose cup. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-C. In the next hour, the man himself, Donald Trump, will be with you right here on the Savage Nation to talk about, I think, a bigger issue than this, but we'll talk about this for a bit and move on. It's that simple. I'm not going to get hung up on it. That's what Hillary wants. That's what all the people who have elected this narcissist want. They want you to be focused on nonsense. WABC, Mike, you're the first caller. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Hey, Doc, I kind of feel like you're giving him a pass here before he's even come on the show. Of course he's going to disavow it. It's just a little too coincidental that he's friends with this the owner of the Enquirer is a good friend of his. The only source in the story is Roger Stone, and of course he's going to deny it. I would expect nothing less from him than to deny it. And then it comes out a day after Ted Cruz.
All right, so let's say what you say is true, which I don't believe for a minute. Let's say it's true. Does that mean you're going to vote for Bernie Sanders?
Oh no, let me tell you right off the bat. I am a Ted Cruz supporter, but I'm not one of those idiots out there who's going to get Hillary Clinton elected. If Donald Trump is the nominee, I will 100% vote for Donald Trump.
Fair enough. And there's a lot of Ted Cruz supporters. So as a Ted Cruz supporter, can you tell me why Mr. Trump comes on the show repeatedly and he's willing to face the audience today while your fearless leader, Ted Cruz, won't even reply to our emails? Can you explain that?
That's the first I'm hearing of him not going on someone's
your
show.
Your fearless leader, Ted Cruz, has people who will not even reply to my producers, and we can prove it. Well, is that not an interesting story to all of you Cruz acolytes?
Listen, I'm not an acolyte. I could 100% vote for Donald Trump if needed.
Well, as long as you're not a stalactite, I'll accept that. An acolyte is one thing, a stalactite is another. Okay, you know, I don't mind if you're an acolyte, but stalactites I can do without. No, but look, the bigger issue is Cruz was invited on the show. His minions won't even answer my producers. They're hiding. Now, why would a guy who has nothing to hide be hiding? And why would a guy who has nothing to hide, like Donald Trump, be willing to talk to the audience? He could have said no today. He could have said, I don't want to go and expose myself to the audience. He could have said, I've had enough of this, I'm going to move on. But he's going to be on here. He's brave enough to face the audience on the Savage Nation in the next hour. Cruz is hiding. What is Cruz hiding from? And what is Cruz hiding?
I don't think he's hiding anything. I just think...
So why do you think he won't come on this show? What has he got to lose?
Well, because you support Trump, and just some of the things that you said in the last segment, that he's new to this whole thing, and he doesn't really know what he's doing when it comes to the smearing, and you just have an opinion of him that...
Well, I have an opinion on a lot of candidates. But why is it that Cruz is too cowardly to come on the Savage Nation? Why is he part of the establishment? He's exactly like John Boehner. Let me be very clear. The same exact behavior like all the Republicans. He's no different.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, Donald Trump will be with us in this hour to set the record straight on the National Enquirer scandal, and we're going to put it behind us as fast as we can. and get to the much bigger issues, which are the threats, both existential and other, to our survival as a nation. After almost 8 years of an academic leftist leadership, we are bleeding to death in this nation. You may not know it, because the media is owned by the government, in the sense that the government-media complex is one and the same. I don't have to go any further than this embarrassing apology for Barack Obama's excesses last week by Maureen Dowd, a once decent, sarcastic columnist who has become an apologist on the order of Izvestia or Pravda. It's hard to believe that she would justify him sitting at a baseball game with one of the terrorists of Cuba while the bombs were going off in Brussels, not flying home to take the helm, but flying south to tell the youth of Argentina that there's very little difference between communism and capitalism. Again, that was missed, apparently, by the apologist for the New York Times. So when I say beware the government media complex, there's a lot of truth in that. I've been lecturing on that since 1998 when I gave that famous speech at the Commonwealth Club, beware the government media complex. And so today, yeah, we'll put this out on the table here, the Trump-Cruz battle, which I think should be put behind as fast as possible. The best thing for America would be for Trump and Cruz to debate who is worse for America, Hillary or Bernie. That would be the real debate question. That's what I want to hear from both of them, is why is Hillary more dangerous than Bernie Sanders? Or why is Bernie Sanders more of an existential threat to our existence than Hillary Clinton? That would be a much better story. And by the way, the Trump-Cruz fight, I think, could be pushed by chess master Hillary herself to distract us from the email scandal, distract us from a disastrous Arab Spring, distract us from a disastrous tenure as Secretary of State. And so that's why we need to get it behind us. I should reiterate again, the Cruz campaign has been invited on this show to be given equal time to Donald Trump, and they won't even answer my producers. What does that tell you about Cruz? What does he have to hide? I know you don't want to hear this. You'll say, well, he's not your friend. You're not his friend. You're supporting Trump. Why should he come on? Because if he was a big enough man to face a little guy like me, then he might be a big enough man to face ISIS. But if he's not a big enough man to face a little guy like me, then he's not a big enough man to face the real big men in ISIS. How's that for some rhetoric? Put that into your pot pipes and smoke it. That's one of the topics. The other topic is not only that the Cruz campaign is cowardly and won't come on this show while Donald Trump comes on the show repeatedly, but think about this. The head of the Democrat National Committee, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, is in the tank for Hillary Clinton, trying to shield her, while the RNC head is trying to take down the party frontrunner Donald Trump. What does that tell you about this disastrous thing called the Republican Party? We're also asking you, why do you think Bernie, the communist, appeals to first-time voters? Make no mistake about it. He is not a socialist. He is not a, he calls him democratic socialist like in Sweden. That's rubbish. He is much closer to the Soviet model. He's like the Mechnikov of the Bolshevik Revolution, if you studied your Bolshevik Revolution, which I did in great detail in college. He is like Mechnikov. WJR, Rob, you're the first up. Go ahead. What's on your mind today?
Yes, I agree. Bernie Sanders is not about Sweden. He is not about Scandinavia. In the late 1970s, I was a protege of Michael Harrington. I was part of a group called the Democratic Socialist Organizing Committee. Bernie Sanders was a part of that group. I wasted a good part of my Ivy League scholarship, you know, studying this garbage, unfortunately, about 40 years ago. I can tell you, it is not about Sweden. It is about Marxist theory, false consciousness of the working class, evolution and revolution of society to the socialist model and then to the communist model.
Did you actually meet Bernie Sanders then, or you were just part of the same, quote, movement?
I was part of the same group. It was called the Democratic Socialist Organizing Committee. It was led by a guy you might remember called Michael Harrington.
I know the name, but there's a very good man named Michael Harrington who runs Torkers magazine.
He's He's just.
No, I'm sorry. That's Harrison. Strike that from the record, Judge. Sorry, it's Michael Harrison. Sorry, Michael. Okay, I don't know Michael Harrington, not at all. But the thing is that you're saying that Bernie Sanders is not this benign, nice old man who wants to bring about fairness. You think he's a danger.
He's a danger. And by the way, the book was called The Other America, written by Michael Harrington. Bernie Sanders, you know, he had his honeymoon in the Soviet Union. He spent a lot of time at a kibbutz in Israel, a Marxist-Leninist kibbutz that didn't even believe in the state of Israel. Actually, it believed in Marxist-Leninism. He studied there. And I can tell you, our group, the DSOC, the Democratic Socialist Group, we believe that we could get to socialism piecemeal by getting a little chunk of socialism kind of built into place over time. But eventually we would get to a tipping point where the government could take over the rest of the economy. In a nutshell, that was our theory at the time.
So in other words, a guy like Bernie Sanders, who's never run anything, I heard he tried being a carpenter and he failed at that. The only thing he was good at, according to his friends, is hate. He hated the middle class. He hated people who were better than himself. Can you explain his appeal, please?
Oh, yes. His appeal, is that's why I started out. He is not Sweden. His appeal is that we're going to have like a Scandinavia. A couple of free education and a couple of free programs. What people don't understand is that you can't stop at one or two free programs. What would he do in the next election? He'd have to find other things that are free.
So in other words, how far would it go? Would it become Mao's China, where 30 million died? Would it be Pol Pot's Cambodia, where 3 million were killed? Where would it end? How does this end?
You mentioned before, the Soviets didn't start with a totally corrupt, dysfunctional communism. They started with, like, the Mensheviks. You know, when the Mensheviks became the Bolsheviks, and the Bolsheviks became full-out communists. So it doesn't start that way.
But, right. So in other words, Bernie Sanders is the early stage of the virus of death.
Perfect.
Okay. He is a virus. And this is the shocker here, that a political virus like this could latch on to the body politic and spread so rapidly. You know, he just took down Hillary in three states. How do you explain that?
You know, I just finished your book, Zero Government. And my favorite chapter, or the most important chapter, actually was Zero Education. You know, when I was 10 years old in the 60s, our teachers had us read Animal Farm. And they talked to us about socialism. They talked to us about communism. They explained this stuff in school when we were little kids, like in sixth grade.
Mm.
I don't think they do that anymore.
No. Now instead of telling you about the dangers of socialism, they tell you about the wonders of socialism. Well, you're an intellectual from the left who has evolved. And apparently you're a very close listener to the Savage Nation. You're listening out of the Detroit area, are you, Rob?
Yes, correct.
Well, all I can say is thank you. I mean, it's listeners like you that make for the highest IQ in talk radio. I'm sure if it listens to this show. I have said this show is talk radio for the thinking person, and I stand by those words. And if you have some thoughts that you'd like to share with the rest of the thinking people in the talkosphere, that's a good word. I think it's a new one, a talkosphere. I wonder how long it'll be before it appears somewhere else. But if you want to share some ideas with others in the talkosphere, the phone number is 855-407-282. WABC, James, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I believe the things going on with Donald Trump, whether you agree with him or you disagree with him, they're just all forms of distraction because, like you said, you know, it's business as usual on the Democratic side. If you look at it, I mean, that looks like a sham election. They're sort of using this Bernie guy to energize their base, but it's they're all in it for Hillary. So this is all.
All right. So what are you basically saying about this Trump-Cruz issue? You're saying you're agreeing with me, basically. It's coming from the Hillary camp, and the media is fanning it in order to distract us from Hillary's real scandals. Well, that's pretty clear in my mind. We'll have to ask the man himself. Donald Trump will be with us in about 15 minutes. We'll take a quick break. Take your calls right here at 855-407-282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUYCO. I have no echoes in my mind. I have just thoughts. I don't call them echoes. And today is a very big day for you, for me, for Donald Trump, for the media, because the media should be focused on the bigger issues, not these kind of tempestuous little things, these scandals about sex this, sex that. We have a war going on. Can't we all draw our wagons together? The Islamofascists are setting off bombs and killing people all over the world. They killed Christians in Pakistan over the weekend. It could rip your heart out. The Christian religion is under attack itself. Now, I know many of you progressives like that, because you yourselves have been at war with Christianity for decades now. Here in San Francisco, a group of degenerate perverts on Easter Sunday dressed up in mock Jesus and Mary. It was disgusting. Nancy Pelosi approves of it, though, because it's progressive. Well, it's not progressive. It's the death of a civilization. That's the savage truth. But my question for you is, without the media helping us in this war against Islamofascism, I'm afraid they're going to win in the long run. I know it's a terrible thing to say, but when I see that Europe has almost fallen to Islamofascism, they're in a panic. They don't have enough men to follow the people they're following. They let people who commit crimes against humanity to come back to their nations instead of stopping them at their borders. They don't say, no, you're not allowed back in our nation. That's the European Union. It's so weak. It's collapsing. We have no allies to speak of in Europe. They all depend upon us, and yet we have a president who says there's no war against Islamofascism. He said, why, you can't say that, you'll alienate Muslims. So he commits a war on the truth itself. Then you have people who once ran the CIA, like this guy Hayden. He gave a shocking speech over the weekend, this guy Hayden. I don't know if it's Tom Hayden's illegitimate brother or Tom Hayden's stepfather, but there's a guy named Hayden who used to run the CIA, a kind of older guy, a puffy guy. Do we have a soundbite somewhere in here? I don't think so. Clip 15, I have so much sound here. It's Hayden. He says Trump's enthusiasm for fighting Islamofascism will actually weaken us in the war against Islamofascism. It's the same lie that's coming out of Bill Bratton from New York City, the head of the police department. Bratton wrote a ridiculous editorial over the weekend attacking Ted Cruz, saying that by doing surveillance on mosques that are known to have terrorists preaching in there, you're alienating the Muslim community and you need to support them. That's stupid. That's plain stupid. It's politically... It's political insanity. I don't like to use the word political correctness. It's been overused. It has no meaning. Political correctness actually is a very important phrase. It's something that went on in communist China that led to the death of 60 million people when the masses were afraid to say what was obviously true to them. And that's how dangerous this is. So now you hear it coming from the police chief in New York City. It's absurd. Or from this former CIA director. They all are repeating the same mantra that you must not alienate Muslims, you mustn't question Muslims, you must beg Muslims to help you. Well, I'll go back to my position, which is the exact opposite. You decide for yourself what you think would help us defeat ISIS, because we're not defeating them right now, are we? Is that stopping the bombs from going off in San Bernardino? Placating the Council on American-Islamic Relations? No, I don't think so. The more you placate them, the more brazen they become. The more operative they become in weakening us further on the road to Sharia. Make no mistake about it. This is a very deadly, deadly, deadly slide that we're on. So we have to talk about these things, and we're not. Instead, we're talking about mudslinging. Okay, well, when Mr. Trump comes on the air, we're going to put the mudslinging behind us, I hope, and we'll move on to the bigger issues and what he would do to make America safe again. I hear he's going to make America great again. You know what he ought to change his slogan to? Is make America safe again, because it sure ain't safe right now. There's a shooting just now in Washington, D.C. They're not reporting the shooter. We've been trying to get any updates, but again, they're getting their story together. Shooting at U.S. Capitol, officer wounded, shooter in custody, no known identity of the shooter. They're getting their storyline in place. You could pretty much determine in advance it wasn't a Timothy McVeigh-looking guy, or they would have already paraded him with the scalp. The blue eyes would have been shown already with the blonde hair. They would have marched him out already with the mother. They would have been outside her house in Jackson Heights interviewing the mother and the teacher if he looked like Timothy McVeigh. At least that's what we think. So my friends, we're in very, very treacherous times. We're in Whitewater now, and I'm not referring to the scandal of the Clintons. We are in survival Whitewater, and all we're talking about is whether Ted Cruz did or didn't, and whether Donald Trump did or didn't say anything about it, when those two, I think, fine men, either of whom would be a far better choice than Hillary or the communist, they should be joining forces against the forces of socialism / Bolshevism. That's what I'd like to see come out of this, is a unification of these two men. Can you imagine the power of a Trump-Cruz alliance? Why is it that there are so many people who are backing Cruz who hate Trump? I back Trump, but I don't hate Cruz. You see the difference? Why do those who back Cruz hate Trump? I'll let you figure that out, and then you decide whether they're really your friend. When I return, Donald Trump right here to talk about these issues and more on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7287.
All right, yeah, well, everyone's talking about a lot of things. The shooting at the Capitol, they have someone in custody, they won't name him yet. Donald Trump will be with us momentarily to talk about this nonsense when there's so many big problems in the world. But as I said to you in the last hour and a half, I believe the Trump-Cruz issue of them eating each other alive is being pushed by the chess master Hillary to force the election into the hands of the enemies of freedom. You should also know that the Cruz campaign has rejected any offer to come on this show to set the record straight. That should tell you an awful lot about the brave Ted Cruz. If he won't even face Michael Savage, how is he going to face the head of ISIS? Think about that one. That's a big story. And we're talking also about the fact that the Democrat National Committee head, whatever her name is, Schisselberger is in the tank for Hillary, trying to shield her, while the RNC head, some little guy, Priebus, is trying to take down the party frontrunner, Donald Trump. Think about that one. And then we're also talking about, why do you think Bernie the Communist appeals to first-time voters? It's a big story. These are big stories, but of course the biggest story is the issue of this Trump-Cruz fight, which I wish to God would end. I don't want to keep it alive. I want it over with. They're two great guys, actually. I prefer Trump for a number of reasons, and I've said so, and I'm not going to change my mind all of a sudden. However, I think Cruz can be a great ally in this war against evil, in plain English. I wish he'd put the Bible down a little bit more and stop with the snake charming and focus on politics, not a theocracy. It scares an awful lot of middle-of-the-road voters to be waving around the Bible every other campaign. Even Christians don't like it, let me tell you that. They know it's hypocrisy, incidentally. You know, no one can see a hypocrite more quickly than a very religious person. And they don't want to see those Bibles being waved in their face. And that's something the Cruz campaign has done a little too often. If you get to get online, I mean, the tent is full right now. If you want to squeeze into the Savage tent to hear Donald Trump, I suggest you get online right now by calling 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. Everyone's talking about this Trump-Cruz fight. Everyone's talking about it. But the fault lines have been drawn. There are so many isosceles triangles going on right now in the media, it's hard to follow who's on which side and what's in it for them. I can tell you point blank that there's nothing in it for me. I'd swear once again, and I'll take a pledge right now, and I wish others in the media would do so, I have absolutely nothing to gain or lose other than America itself if Donald Trump wins the presidency. We have never personally met to talk about these issues, and nothing has been promised to me, nor would I ask for anything. And here he is, the great man himself, Donald Trump. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Donald, thanks so much for being with us. And by the way, congratulations on the birth of your newest grandchild.
Absolutely, that's great. Really happy about it.
Donald, I know what it feels like to be a grandparent. I know how protective it makes the grandfather. And I suppose that's why your popularity has swelled. Personally, I think because America sees you as the greatest chance to protect us, in plain English. You know, for the big issue, Donald, I know you've disavowed any connection to these allegations against Ted Cruz and his alleged affairs. But let's be clear. You've had more mud thrown at you than all of the other candidates put together. You've been smeared like I've never seen anyone smeared before. So, assuming that you had nothing to do with this, and I believe you have had nothing to do with this garbage, is it at all possible that someone within your camp may have done this in order to help you without even telling you?
No, it's not possible. In fact, two articles were written today or yesterday by not lovers of Trump, the Daily Beast, whatever that may be, and another one, yep, by a respected journalist, that said Marco Rubio has been peddling this story for a long time, and it was Marco Rubio. I mean, they said it very strongly. Marco Rubio has been peddling this story. I never heard about this story, and frankly, I had absolutely nothing to do with the National Enquirer of putting this story in. But two articles were written about Marco Rubio having to do it, and he's been peddling it. Now, who knows if he did it? I have no idea if he did it, but I can only tell you one thing. It wasn't me. And Cruz ought to focus on other things, frankly, because I think it's disgusting when he blames me. And you're right. Somebody in your world called me and said they have never seen anybody slandered like I've been slandered over the last week about the whole woman thing. Nobody respects women more than I do, Michael. You know that. But
I know that. I know you have a great reputation. I know that. But, you know, I think that the grandmaster behind this, Donald, could be the Hillary Clinton camp itself. They could have leaked it to little Marco. And little Marco's people could have leaked it to turn you against each other. And I think that for the sake of your campaign and for the sake of America, and no matter how tempting it may be for you to fight back because you are a fighter, Donald, I wouldn't get involved with it anymore. I think we need to talk about the dangers of a Hillary presidency. What do you think, Mr. Trump?
About NATO. You know, you saw what I came up with NATO the other day. They asked me a question about NATO. Nobody's thought about this for 30 years. I said NATO is obsolete. And we're spending too much money, and other countries are spending almost nothing. And we're protecting everybody, and we're the big stupid bully that doesn't know what to do. And we're spending, you know, we're spending hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars and even billions of dollars on NATO. And other countries aren't pulling their weight, and they're supposed to be pulling their weight, and we're protecting them. So, you know, that came out, and it came out very good. Actually, I must tell you, surprisingly, the New York Times did a great story on it. And today I had a great story in the New York Times. I mean, you know, I awoken people as to NATO. And it is obsolete. Today we need something having to do with terrorism. And, you know, when NATO was done originally, it was the Soviet Union, which was different than Russia. It was the Soviet Union. And, you know, it becomes obsolete after all of these decades. So we're spending too much money, and it should be rejiggered or redone.
I agree with you, but let's talk about Hillary Clinton. Here is a woman who says that we're defeating ISIS. What do you say to that?
Well, we are so undefeating ISIS. ISIS is running rampant. You know, they have Libya oil. We do nothing about it. You know, I don't know if you know what's going on in Libya. Libya is ISIS territory now. That was another Hillary great thing with Benghazi. And
absolutely. Gaddafi begged her not to kill him. He said we will descend into a Somalia run by warlords. Hillary owns Libya and the Middle East mess, Donald.
Totally. ISIS has the Libyan oil. And why aren't we putting up a blockade? Why aren't we knocking the hell out of that oil? Why aren't we doing things? I mean, Libya had vast oil supplies. You remember Gaddafi with the oil and the money. And now ISIS has it. And why aren't we putting up a blockade? Why aren't we taking that oil? Why do we have other people having that oil? Why aren't we taking that oil? It's disgraceful. The way our country runs is a disgrace, Michael.
Well, okay, but we're talking about terrorism. Hillary and you couldn't differ even more completely than you do now. She says we're defeating ISIS when we know that's a lie. If you become president, which I hope you do, do you have an actual plan from the first day in office to take them on, Donald, that you can even sketch out for us?
I do have a plan. I actually have a number of different plans because you need alternatives, Michael, and you want to be unpredictable. You know, this country is so predictable. If the president has a plan, he goes up and announces what his plan is. He says, this is what he's going to do. Remember he sent the 50 troops in about 6 months ago? And he announced that he's sending 50 troops in. 50 of our finest, by the way. And he gets up and announces that he's sending 50 troops. They have a target on their back. Or when he announced that he's taking everybody out of Iraq, and he gave a date. And I mean, the whole thing is just crazy. We shouldn't have been in Iraq, and then we shouldn't have gotten out the way we got out. And it was disgraceful the way it's been handled. We have such bad leadership. We don't even have leadership as far as I'm concerned. So, Michael, when you ask me about a plan, I have planned, and I have plans. I have A, B, C, you know, depending on what happens. But I hate to just go onto your very popular show and say what the plan is, and other people hear that, and it gets back, and all of a sudden it's no longer a really plan. We need the element of surprise. Do you think General George Patton or General MacArthur, do you think they would have gotten on your show and said what they want to do?
No, I agree 100%. No, why would they spell out a battle plan in advance unless they were fools?
Some very strong ideas. But I hate to sit on your show and say, you know, here's what we'll do, Michael. We'll do this, and we'll do that, and we'll do that. Now, let's assume, you know, I am the front runner by a lot in the Republican side. And I say, here's what we'll do. And then I get in, and I'll say, you know, I gave Michael Savage my entire plan. I hope they weren't listening to that show. Well, they were. You understand.
Yeah, of course. Okay. No, that's rational. And, of course, I know something about leadership, Donald. It's who you hire to enact your big vision. You don't need to spell out every detail of every program in the world to show how smart you are. You need to hire the best people who can enact your plans, whether it be the economy, health care, terrorism, social programs. You need smart people, as you've said. So I trust that. But, Donald, on the issue of national security, you have a former CIA director who sounds like a Motley's fool saying that you're all wrong on surveilling mosques and that it'll only alienate Muslims. The NYPD was doing this in keeping New Yorkers safe. Why would the NYPD police commissioner, Bratton, come out so strongly against that idea today? Do you have any idea? You may even know Mr. Bill Bratton.
Can you imagine they chop off people's heads and they have no rules, but we have laws and rules. And the same gentleman that you're talking about said Trump is wrong on torture, he's wrong on waterboarding, we shouldn't waterboard, we shouldn't torture. And they're chopping off Christians' heads and anybody else's heads, and it's a disgrace. And this is the same man that we're talking about, the same man. And you know, you're right, in New York City we had a great surveillance program, which is now totally scrapped, it's totally gone, because of a mayor that we have who's a gross incompetent. And it's really sad when you look at what's going on. When you look at what went on in New York, when you look at, we had a great surveillance program. They say the best in the world. And it's totally gone. And you just look at what's going on in Belgium. You know, in Brussels, I said a number of months ago, I said that Brussels is a hellhole. You better watch out. It's bad. It's, you know, a lot of problems. The New York Times did a big story really criticizing me for saying such bad things about Brussels. Now everybody's saying Trump got it right, Michael. You see that. It's all over the place. That Trump was the only one that knew what was going on.
I agree. But look, Donald, this Geneva Convention business that the liberals like to cite, that we're violating the Geneva Convention by even waterboarding, it's such a ludicrous statement, Donald. They don't follow the Geneva Convention rules. The Geneva Convention only applies to those who sign on to it. The last I checked, ISIS didn't sign on to the Geneva Convention, Donald.
Hey, Michael, they're allowed to chop off heads. They're allowed to drown 50 people in a heavy steel cage, drop them right into the ocean or to the water, and drown them and pull it up with 50 bodies in it. And we're going by the Geneva Convention. So let's go by the Geneva Convention, but we have to make the rules a lot tougher because we're fighting on a different playing field. So we can't waterboard, which is considered a minimal form. Okay, it's, some people don't consider it torture, actually, but it's considered certainly minimal. They're allowed to chop off heads and drown people. A little bit different. When you say, do you think they sit back home when they're all eating? Because they eat like everybody else. And when they just chopped off 50 heads of people, do you think that they sit around and saying, can you believe these people? They're refusing to waterboard. I mean, they read this stuff. They're refusing to waterboard. They have absolutely no fear of our country. Our country is weak and ineffective, and it's a shame, Michael. It's a shame.
Donald, they're laughing at us. they're laughing at us. And one of the things I'd like to get across in this, let's say, your appearance on this show, and I thank you again for coming on the show. You know that Ted Cruz, my producers, contacted his people today. They won't even answer my people. And I said on this show, if he doesn't have the guts to face Michael Savage, how is he going to face ISIS? You know, I don't know what's behind this scandal, nor do I really care. I hope you guys just stop this kind of stuff, because we got to focus on the bigger picture, Donald. That's the real purpose of you coming on today. I think you don't want to talk about this garbage anymore.
I think it's garbage. He started it, but I think it's now total garbage. Absolutely, it's ridiculous.
But Donald, you beat him, and you beat this guy wherever you turn. So let's, in the few minutes that remain, Wisconsin, Wisconsin, Wisconsin. He's been boasting that if he was head-to-head with you, he would defeat you. Is it true that all of the other delegates are going to suddenly run to his side? That's not true, is it?
No, not at all. No, we have. I have many more delegates than him. I have millions of more votes than him. And frankly, in every debate, I beat him. You know, according to all of the Drudge poll and the Time magazine poll and all of the polls, they do these online polls. Every one of the debates I won. You saw that. I mean, I'm not telling you anything. You know.
But in the latest polls, look, next Tuesday's a big day. You and Cruz are the big issue, right? What are the latest polls showing over there?
About even. It's about even. Now, I'm leaving tomorrow for Wisconsin, but it's pretty much even. But, you know,
well, Donald, I'm on four stations in Wisconsin, and I hope you're the best over there, because we need a clear front runner to take on Hillary Clinton. That's what we really need.
That's true. Well, I think we're going to do very well. Right now, I'm a clear front runner, and I think you'll be very happy, and I think we'll do well in Wisconsin. The people in Wisconsin want security. They want military. They want the great military. They want to see borders. They don't want illegal immigration. And they want great trade deals, because they're getting killed with bad trade deals. So I think that's, you know, I beat Cruz in every one of those items. I even have Sheriff Joe from Arizona. You know, he endorsed me. You know that. Sheriff Joe. Nobody tougher on the border than him. He knows what he's doing. He truly knows what he's doing. So
I agree with you on that. So look, people are going to say I've been too nice to you today, but it's not about nice. You had the decency to come on the Savage Nation today and say you had nothing to do with this garbage. I agree with you. I accept it, number one. And I don't even want to talk about it anymore, Donald. The country is hanging in the balance. And I want to thank you again and wish you the greatest success in Wisconsin and everywhere else. Thank you, Donald Trump.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you very much.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. All right, folks, listen. Trump denies any connection to Cruz allegations on the Savage Nation. You heard it right here. And let me tell you something. If you think that that was easy, you are mistaken. I spent all weekend in meditation on this particular interview that I knew was coming up. And I had to be like water in order to do the right job. And I hope that I've not disappointed you. There are many different ways this could have been conducted. I could have done the obvious media attack dog method, which I do not do with guests ever. Ever. I have a firm rule that if a guest comes on my show, it's like a guest in my house, and I treat them with respect and dignity. I'm not that guy with the straw hair on MSNBC, whose name I forget, who is just an attack dog. That's old media style. You don't have to get at the truth by attacking. You can get at the truth by being like water. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work,
it's
time to sleep all deep.
Here's show. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I want to play the Beach Boys this hour because I feel as though I went up on a roller coaster before the last hour. I felt the ratchets making a sound as the car kept climbing higher and higher and higher before Donald Trump arrived on this show. I don't think the people who listen to the show, I make it sound smooth, I make it sound easy, but you have to understand that there's an element to this show that is extremely personal, and usually sometimes I open up the door into that personal side of the program or myself, and I'm going to do so right now. I would say that that was the toughest interview, no, the toughest 20 minutes I've done in radio in 22 years. And there are many reasons for it, because it could have been handled many different ways. No matter what I did, I'm going to have detractors who say I was too soft on Donald Trump. No matter what I did, there are going to be Cruz bots who say that Cruz shouldn't come on the show because of this reason or that. So you say, well, you can't win. No, you can win. You can win in radio in one way, by being truthful to yourself. To thine own self be true, that's all I can say to you. And I think I did a really good job, if not a great job. I don't know how anyone could have done a better job. I did notice certain things in the Donald Trump interview that I feel I can disclose without being a guy who gossips about a guest who's no longer there to defend himself. I noticed that when I asked him about Hillary Clinton, he would not take a frontal assault against her. And I thought that that was interesting. Because I said, can we focus on the dangers of a Hillary presidency? I didn't think that I got the answer from him that I expected. Let's put it to you that way. I thought he would have jumped on it and joined me in my attacks on the dangers of a Hillary presidency. I didn't hear that. So that's something I thought I would share with you. I said that I think Trump and Cruz should get together and stop fighting. I didn't hear a commitment to that. But I feel gratified that Donald Trump has the guts to come. He didn't have to come on the show. You know, many of you say, oh, you're a marginal show. William, I'm so marginal that he came on the show, right? Just put that aside already. All the haters out there, the jealous people who never got anywhere in life, or my competitors in the media. Let me explain something to you. Yeah, the show was so marginal that Donald Trump felt obligated to come on the show. He could have dismissed it as an unimportant show and not come on, couldn't he? He didn't do that, did he? So if Donald Trump thinks my show is important enough to come on the show, my friends, that's a news story for all of you haters out there and all you jealous people who kept saying, oh, Michael Savage this, Michael Savage that, you'll never get anywhere, you're too this, you're too that, or you like to call me names. You're marginal. You're non-existent. We're fighting for the survival of America. The leftists must be defeated at all costs. We're in a battle for the very survival of this country. Those are not just words. And we're talking about that. And I think Trump is our best chance of defeating the enemies, domestic and foreign. We're talking about that. And then I want to talk about the Kabbalistic element of my show. I know you say, where did he come up with that one? What is he trying to do now? I want to talk about the number 12 sometime in this hour and why the number 12 is so important. And what relevance it may or may not have to this issue of the Cruz-Trump debacle, because it's very bad. The fight between these guys is very, very bad for America at the end of the day. The big loser will be America. Because if we can't get rid of these old guard weaklings who have weakened us to such an extent that we can hardly fight back, I don't think we survive. And Hillary is not the Iron Lady that she pretends to be. Yes, she's an Iron Lady against her domestic enemies, very, very much like Obama's an Iron Man against his domestic foes and a weakling with regard to the real enemies of America. Hillary is an Iron Lady with anyone who criticizes her domestically, but a capitulator where it really counts. And it's a continuation of that. We're finished. We'll be Belgium. We won't be Portugal. We'll be Belgium. We'll be looking for an America to save us if she becomes president. You mark that down. If Hillary becomes president, we'll be Belgium looking for an America to save us. Do I have to add the rest of the statement? I don't think so. Well, those are some of the random thoughts of the savage brain. 855-472-8282. If you missed the Donald Trump interview, we'll have it on later on. not on the show, no, on my website, michaelsavage.com. I think it's time to go to the callers. Many of you have waited very, very long today to hear Donald Trump and then to listen to the interview and to get on the show. So without any further ado, let's go to Don on WJR in Detroit. Don, go ahead, please. What's your subject?
Michael, it was you. My compliments to the way you handled the interview with Donald Trump. I mean, you prepared for it. That's why I think you did so well. And the way you signed off, it felt like water, or that was the approach. By God, I was drinking a glass of water when you said that. And your interview was like clear, pure, unadulterated. You got right to the point. All right? Screw this.
I tried to.
Our guy.
People forget that I have a scholarly background. It's easy to forget because I don't sound like a professor. But I have a very, very scholarly background, very detailed. I have a background in science, and I was taught scientific writing at a very early age, and that means use the fewest words possible to make your point. That's the essence of science writing. Use the fewest words possible. I tried to use very lean prose in this interview with Donald Trump. And speaking of language for a minute, I've analyzed Donald Trump's use of language and how he's easily confused with someone who's not as intelligent as the great literate professors out there. They don't even understand what he does in his speaking to get his points across. But I thank you for hearing both him and Michael Savage. The very same criticisms of Trump have been leveled at me over the years. And that's because people don't even understand I'm in the mass media. I'm not in a lecture hall with a group of students. That's a different language. Use a different language in a lecture hall with a small group. Use a different language again when you're giving a speech. Use a different language again. In mass media, it's a different language that's used, a different syntax that's used. I don't think people understand this. Mass media, radio broadcasting is mass media. I make it sound very personal, don't I? Many of you are listening and you think you know me. You're listening to that speaker, or I don't know if you have earbuds on or whatever, and when I speak, you think you know me. I feel I come across as someone familiar to you, right? Well, that's a product of my ability to communicate. It's a communication skill that can't even be taught. Books can be written about what I do for a living. And books can be written about Donald Trump's communication skills after this election is over, whether he wins or not. He has amazing communication skills. And I heard them again in his talk with me in the last hour. I heard how he was putting words together. I know he jumped around a lot. He used different tenses. He didn't finish sentences. People say, well, that's a mark of illiteracy. You're 100% wrong. It's easy to make that assumption if you're in the world of the looking down on people. But if you grew up in the world where you were looked down upon, you'll understand the world is not exactly that way. Anyway, those are some random thoughts. You want to talk about this stuff or not? KLIF, Richard, line 6. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Mr. Savage, you did a great job interviewing Donald Trump. I don't trust Ted Cruz as far as I can throw him. He scares me with his Bible talk. I think he's like an Inquisition Christian. And you were very good in terms of Donald Trump didn't address the question about Hillary. He went on to talk about oil and Libya, and you went right. You didn't answer the question. Donald, go back and answer the question. I believe Donald Trump. I don't believe Ted Cruz. And the major problem we have in America, one of the major problems we have in America, Mr. Savage, is the media. M-E-D-I-A, as an acronym, make everyone dumb in America. You don't make us dumb. You educate us. You motivate us. God bless you for what you do.
Well, thank you for listening. That's all I can say. Greetings to Mr. Trump, I said at the beginning. Congratulations, Mr. Trump, on the birth of your newest grandchild. I know what it feels like to be a grandparent, I said. I know how protective it makes the grandfather. And I suppose that's why your popularity has swelled, because America sees you as the greatest chance to protect it. That was quite a statement. Did anyone hear it? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640. Well, not on the Savage Nation. We had Trump talk. Now we're going to have talk about whatever you want to talk about in the talkosphere called the Savage Nation, a new word I created. I don't know. Does it exist, Robert? I haven't heard it before. I heard of the blogosphere. Has anyone called it the talkosphere? Well, you're in the talkosphere with Michael Savage. If you want to talk about what we've been talking about, that would be good. I eventually want to get to the dangers of Bernie Sanders. I think that he is one of the most dangerous Pied Pipers of communism I've ever seen in my life. If he was a young, foaming radical, as we've had in the country, they wouldn't get anywhere because we know who they are. We've seen them before. There are many, many before him screaming about the revolution and, you know, attacking the middle class. That never worked. So they switched tactics and they went to a more stealthy program. There's a name for it. I have it in several of my books. I don't have to show you how smart I am. And many of you know the names. The Priven this and the that. It's like the Creutzfeldt-Jakob syndrome as far as I'm concerned. To those of you who know the joke, it's no joke to have the Creutzfeldt-Jakob syndrome. Nor is it a joke to have communism come to you in the form of a nice old man. Because it always leads to the same end. Whenever you have a man who thinks that the government or a central bureaucracy can do something better than the private sector, what you have there is socialism. So you don't even know what we're talking about. The average kid comes out of school, they've been told capitalism is evil, anyone who makes money is evil, etc., and that only the government is not evil. Only the government can provide them with things. And so if you're a kid who got a bachelor's degree in some subject or other, that's not a hardly focused, a highly focused science, or on a road to a law degree or a medical degree or an engineering degree or a degree in something or other that really, you know, requires skill, of course you'd like an easy, cushy civil service job. Of course you'd like to come out of college and continue your college life. I know an employer who told me something that I would like to share with you. The employer was interviewing people for a job. And most of the people interviewing were high school graduates. And they all got the job. And then she got a college graduate. And he said to her, "You're making me uncomfortable in asking me these questions." And she said, "What do you mean I'm making you uncomfortable?" He said, "I don't like your tone." This is to a woman who was looking to hire him. He said, "You're making me uncomfortable. I don't want to answer your questions. I shouldn't have to answer these questions." And he got up and left in a snit. There's your Bernie Sanders voter. He'd like a cushy civil service job in California for Jerry Brown. He'd like to work for the forestry department. Without knowing anything about trees, he'd like to go tell men who live in the woods everything about trees. Or she'd like to get a job in Jerry Brown's agriculture department, California Department of Agriculture. So she can go to talk to a fourth generation, cherry tree farmer and tell him all about cherry trees and how to grow them. This is exactly what happened in the Soviet Union. Know-nothing bureaucrats destroyed the country. And then they blamed the people that they destroyed in destroying the country. And the rest is history. That's Bernie Sanders. Bernie has never done anything in the world except hate. And yet he appeals to the mass of young and civil servants who see that there's an unfair world. They think that there's ever going to be a fair world. Where is there a fair world? Tell me where the fairest world is. Who is the tooth fairy who will call the show and tell me where the fairest world is? I don't know where it is. Everyone has equality and everyone is happy. Didn't Mao Zedong promise that with the blue uniforms and the red stars? How did that work out? I think there were 60 million who died. Isn't that what he promised was equality in animal form? Joseph Stalin tried the same equality in the Soviet Union. 30 million died. Pol Pot promised equality and inequality would be eliminated. 3 million, a mountain of skulls. There was a movie about that one. I forget the name of it, Teddy. So my friends, we're in very perilous waters when we have so many ignoramuses who don't even know the dangers of socialism, communism, when carried to their extreme. When you have a president who goes to South America just last week and gives a lecture and says there's little difference between socialism and capitalism, you know what trouble we're in. And that's a result of zero education. as pointed out in Government Zero. KOK Radio in Louisiana. Connie, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. What's your topic?
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you so much. Your interview with Mr. Trump was wonderful. I'm a person who had been a Ted Cruz supporter and changed very early in the campaign to Mr. Trump. I do not trust Ted Cruz. I have worked for him for his election for senator and really liked him, but I have not liked a lot of what he has done in Congress. He has made no friends in Congress. I think he would have difficulty governing with Congress if he were elected. The only way he would have that, I think, is if he sells out completely to the establishment. So I am concerned about him, and I am a major fan of Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump is getting an awful lot of people in this area, which is the old Reagan Democratic group that helped turn the solid South from blue to red, back into looking at...
Where are you in Louisiana? Are you near New Orleans? Where are you?
I'm in West Louisiana, over near the Texas border.
Oh, way over near the panhandle.
Why are
well, look, Connie, let me send you a copy of Government Zero to read at your focus groups, because I think it lays out a plan for the future of America, and many of the policies will be articulated, I believe, by Donald Trump when he wins the presidency, and let's hope he does.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-72.
Now, the best website in the business is WorldNet Daily. I am their partner on michaelsavage.com. It's a given. But they don't ignore a story like this while the others do. I don't even know whether the owner, Joseph Farah, supports Trump or Cruz. I never asked them. We never had that discussion. He may support Kasich. I don't know. I know he's a journalist. He started as a journalist, a real one, a real journalist. Very few in the business of running websites ever started in journalism, by the way. They don't even know what journalism means. He does. So he just published an article about the interview 8 minutes ago. Trump says, Trump, colon, Cruz started garbage, but let's move on. That summarizes it. Here's what they just wrote. Asked by talk radio host Michael Savage if it's at all possible that someone from his staff was responsible for the National Enquirer story claiming Ted Cruz had five mistresses, GOP presidential primary frontrunner Donald Trump assisted his campus clean. Quote, no, it's not possible, Trump said. In fact, two articles were written today or yesterday by not lovers of Trump, the Daily Beast, and another one, a respected journalist, that said Marco Rubio has been peddling the story for a long time. Trump, a regular guest in the Savage Nation, was invited to come on the show after Savage warned Friday that he might withdraw support of the real estate billionaire's White House bid if he did not denounce the National Enquirer story. I never heard about this story and, frankly, had absolutely nothing to do with the National Enquirer putting the story in, Trump told Savage Monday. Who knows if he did it, Trump said, referring to Rubio. I have no idea if he did. I only know it wasn't me. And Cruz ought to focus on other things because it's disgusting, frankly, when he blames me, Trump said. When Savage later pressed Trump to affirm the campaign should move on from the personal insults that culminated last week with the National Enquirer story calling it all garbage, Trump agreed. He started it, but I think it's total garbage, Trump said. Savage said Friday he was disgusted that the two leading GOP candidates are spending their time sniping at each other rather than Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. He goes on, and this story can be read by you. I don't want to read the whole story. It's exhausting to read stories on the program. I don't know how people read scripts on radio, but you could lose your mind by reading a script. Either it's, you know, off the top of your head with some good research, or it's stale. So that's up 8 minutes ago. If you heard the interview, you know it's true. If you didn't hear the interview, you'll hear it. That's all. It's a good picture of me from the old days. I still have hair on my head. No, it's an old picture from the old studio in... that's a great studio. It's gone. I had it gutted. I looked good those years. I was in very good shape. Not that long ago, a New York Times photographer took that picture. Would you believe it? I still have the jacket. I never throw clothing out. I still have clothes. I don't know about you. I don't have to hold on to things. People say, can't you clean your closet out? I can't let go. Robert, do you throw old clothing out? You do? I can't throw old things out. Still looks good. It's a nice cashmere jacket. Why should I get rid of it? The shirt I don't have, I'll admit that. have the beard, have the eyebrow, have the nose, have the ears. If you care to talk about it, 855-472-8 through Jane on WFTL. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Savage. I want to just let you know I'm a first-time caller. I listen to you every day. You could probably call me a savage or whatever you call that little club.
A savagette.
Okay. I love your show. I listen to it every day. I love all the topics you bring up. I love the humor you have in your show. I just wanted to call to tell you I enjoyed the Mr. Trump interview today. I was a little disappointed on Friday. I kind of detected something a little different in you a little bit on Friday. But listening to you today, you know, I was just a little bit disappointed at some of the things you were saying on Friday.
But wait a minute. I had to go where I had to go on Friday. Do you think I made a mistake by saying that I would disavow my connection, my support, if it turned out it was him? Why would that disappoint you?
Well, no. I mean, in other words, this had just come out, and, you know, it usually takes some time for other things to come out, too, you know, to verify something, you know.
All right. So you think I jumped the gun is what you're saying. I shouldn't have said anything.
Exactly. Yes. But I mean, like I said.
Well, I'm telling you the truth. I'm big enough to take such a call on the air, and I don't think you're alone in that analysis. Maybe others feel that way. So, having said that, I think I set the record straight. Well, Donald Trump set the record straight today. We can move on to the real threats to our survival. And I have to say that we invited Ted Cruz on the show, and his handlers won't even answer my producer, Robert Borowski, or Jim Verde, or Doug Lynn. They won't answer them. What does that tell you about Ted Cruz?
Ted Cruz, I think he's very sleazy. I don't like him. I've been a Trump supporter since day one. As far as Cruz goes, he's very sleazy. I mean, people think he's, you know, the Bible man. He's so great. You know, there are a lot of things that, you know, I think.
When
that
you say sleazy, why does he strike you as sleazy? What part of the picture gives you a woman from after you're in Florida, what makes you think he's sleazy?
It's just the way he presents himself, you know, like he's so, you know, religious and so conservative and so this and so that.
Yeah. Anyone who waves the flag over and over again of being religious, I doubt if they tell you about it. It's the same with people who insist everyone's not as conservative as they. That's the giveaway, that behind the scenes is a different story.
Exactly. And I just
That's the old holier-than-thou game. I'm a conservative. You're not conservative enough. I can judge you. I have all-seeing eyes. You're not a real conservative. I am. There's a whole industry out there of people who think that they're more conservative than everybody else. It's like a new litmus test. It's, by the way, it's identical to what went on under communism, where communists would ask other communists if they were loyal to the party or not. They give each other litmus tests.
Right.
And turn them in. How does that differ from the fake conservatives who claim they're the real conservatives?
Right. I mean, like I said, he's just sleazy to me. I just don't trust him. The thing with Ben Carson, too, I didn't like. And different things, you know, just like the.
You know, I'm going to say something that no one's ever said in the history of talk radio about Ted Cruz, and I have to say it right now. That's not that controversial when you analyze it, but it may sound it when I say it. A lot of people won't vote for him who don't even know who he is, but let's say they would vote for a Republican, but they won't vote for him, and I'm going to say something that's true. It's not pleasant to hear. Because he has a Hispanic last name, they think that he's, let us say, not that American. I'm telling you right now, you have to understand that that's a reality for a lot of people. Do you agree with that?
Yes. Yes. Yeah,
well, it's a factor that nobody dares talk about. But not everybody will, you know, gravitate to anybody with a name that doesn't sound that American, I'll tell you right now. And that's not limited to Cruz with a Hispanic name. It could be any name that's not like a regular American name. You know what I mean? Like a Smith or a Jones. I don't care what people say, what should be or what is. I mean, what should be. I know what is rather than what should be. And that is. That is a fact. And I thank you for calling. Something new to think about. I actually ran into someone who said hello to me. They said, oh, hey, Michael Savage, like your show, love Teddy. They don't know who I am, but the minute I say Teddy in the street, the head turns, and they, oh, Teddy, that must be you. He gives me away every time. I have to get him a bulletproof vest. But they say, oh, I love your show. And then with this one word to the other, I try not to talk politics with strangers. So I said, well, what do you think of Trump? What do you think of Cruz? They said, well, I don't want to vote for Cruz because he's not an American. I heard people say that to me. I don't answer them, but that's you have to understand it's out there. People say that. But I want Trump and Cruz to get together. You know, there was once a big fight between Trump and Ben Carson. I mean, they were pretty, you know, it was pretty vicious. Remember it? I mean, Trump pretty ripped them up pretty good. And now they're friends. So the scars remain, I'm sure. But Carson is wise enough to support Trump now. I wonder that if Trump wins, would Cruz be wise enough to mend the wounds, to put Band-Aids and peroxide on his wounds and support Trump, or would he get mean? I don't know. This is an interesting question. Of the two men, which one would be more likely to support the other should they become the nominee? I don't know. I don't get a good vibe off the cruisers. And I think that the greatest truth for that proof to that for me as a talk show host is that his staff is so arrogant and so elitist. The very things that they say they're not. Don't you love Cruz poses as a non-elitist? How do you explain that he's so non-elite that his staff won't even answer Robert or Jim, my producers, to come on the show? They wouldn't even dignify them with, I'm sorry, we're busy. That tells you that they think they're better than you are. They think that my audience doesn't even matter. How come Donald Trump knows my audience does matter? Doesn't that tell you something about the judgment of the two men? Doesn't it tell you that Donald Trump is far smarter and has his ear to the ground, more so than does Mr. Cruz? He thinks that the audience is going to matter. He knows that the election is going to come down to a few million votes one way or the other. And he knows it's going to come down to delegates one way or the other. And he knows that every vote counts and every delegate counts. So he goes on my shows. But think about it. Cruz will go on local shows, but he won't go on the Savage Nation. Why? What has he got to hide? What is he afraid of? I wouldn't attack him. So what is he afraid of? I don't know. If he can't face me, how can he face ISIS? If he can't face me, how can he face down China? If he can't face me, how could he ever negotiate in a trade war? The answer is, there's your answer. Your answer is right there. That's all. So I try to use common sense. And I'd like to see them stop it. And I'd like to see them move on together and join forces against Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. That's what the debate should be about. And they should not let the Wolf Blitzers dictate the terms of any future debates. Never let the Megyn Kellys and the Blitzers and the Tappers dictate what should be talked about. They should talk about Hillary's email scandal. They should talk about Hillary's disastrous Middle Eastern policy. They should talk about Bernie Sanders' links to communism. And what it would mean for America. Those are the questions that the wolves refuse to ask. Whether they're wolves in wolves' clothing or wolves in Bernie's clothing. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. Okay, folks, we're coming to the tail end of the roller coaster called the Savage Nation. Now, as someone who has crossed the boundaries between mass and academic culture, which I have done, I did it a long time ago, which actually is a mess, kind of a mark of my defiance as part of my identity in talk radio. Try to follow what I'm saying to you. I actually crossed the boundaries between mass and academic or elite culture. And it's more of a mark of my defiance and marks my identity in many ways and distinguishes me in many ways. So I understand how to reach a mass audience. You can't learn this in school. You can go to school and get a bachelor's degree in mass communications taught by professors who don't know how to communicate. But I know how to communicate, and let me explain something to you, because what I have done is what Donald Trump is doing now. It's why he has become so popular. He uses a very dynamic method of speaking, and the elites or the academics ridicule him because he doesn't sound as though he's literate. But what he uses is a dynamic format that I have used, which consists of simplification, fragmentation, movement, and exaggeration. Did you hear what I just said? You've never heard this anywhere. You're never going to hear it from anyone else. I'm a master of rhetoric. I'm a master of the analysis of communication. And you never heard this anywhere else. But you just heard it on the Savage Nation because you are the thinking audience that I've been talking about. And what do I mean by I use a dynamic method of communication, as does Donald Trump? Simplification, fragmentation, movement, and exaggeration. What does that mean? It means what I do, what Donald Trump does, is we leave out all non-essentials in our presentation of reality, our reality. And we evoke an almost ephemeral or fleeting image that you can grasp as you listen to us. There's a little insight you're not going to get in a textbook on the Savage Nation. I hope it has given you your money's worth. And maybe now you know why Ted Cruz won't come on my show. And Donald Trump will. He came on, he faced the audience. You know, there used to be a show, it still is called Face the Nation, right? Well, Donald Trump came on and faced the Savage Nation. Ted Cruz won't come on and face the Savage Nation. He's afraid of you. And he's making a grave error in being afraid of you. He shouldn't be afraid of me. After all, I'm not as smart as he is. I'm not as important as he is. And you, I guess your votes don't count to Ted Cruz. He thinks that you're beneath him. I guess the millions of my listeners, many of whom I don't even know who you support. You could support Bernie Sanders or Hillary for all I know. But he assumes that you're all idiots. I guess Ted Cruz has made the analysis that you are all fools and he doesn't need your votes. Well, so be it. Everyone has to live with what they live with. And that's it. So the story came out already. Trump came on the Savage Nation. He said Cruz started the garbage, but let's move on. He agreed with me. It's time to move on. He got a few more jabs in, and he moved on. So there you go. I mean, I invited Raphael on. He wouldn't come on. Ted wouldn't even come on. Raphael wouldn't. Ted wouldn't. Why wouldn't Raphael Cruz come on the Savage Nation? Can anyone answer that question? I think you know the answer. He doesn't need me, and he doesn't need your vote. He's written you off. So the big issue now is, how do we save America from the onslaught of the Pied Piper of socialism and the woman who gave us, well, the Arab Spring, that's really the Arab Winter? Good night.